great shepherd of the sheep. He is the chief shepherd. Please take your Bibles, if you have them today, and turn to John chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. I'll be reading the verses anyway, so you'll be able to follow along. But there's a number of verses on your bulletin today. I think the yellow bulletins that you have today, I've got a white one, but yours is yellow. There's a number of verses on there that we'll be using, as well as John chapter 10. It's one of the great joys of my week to get into the study on a Monday morning and prepare the message. I much prefer the study and looking through the scriptures than I actually prefer standing up here in front of you. But then when I've studied, I have something I want to share, and something then impels me to share it with you. I trust that we're able to understand something of how precious the Lord Jesus Christ is today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we might draw close to you, the Good Shepherd, today, that you might be special and precious in our lives, that you would help us to see how good you are to us. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of this morning's message is The Good Shepherd. My wife and I were traveling to Victoria last week, and on the plane, the Lord put me next to a doctor by the name of Harold. Was it? No, it was Patrick, who had specialised. He'd specialised in counselling. He was very interested in astronomy as his particular hobby. He was into conservation. He had his own 40 acres, his little bit of national park, he called it. He's an evolutionist. And last but not least, he was a Zen Buddhist. Zen Buddhism, as a branch of Buddhism, is a self-help religion. It's about the mind, and it's about self. It's about suffering and how to deal with suffering. Now, when you start talking religion, there is a lot of alternatives out there. There is a lot to be understood. Just getting your head around the big three would be quite a task. And the big three are Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism. More than 60% of the world's population belong to one of those three. But there are hundreds of other religions, of course, of various kinds and stripes. Some would tell us they all lead to the one place. But those who are devotees to Islam would deny that. They would say that you have to be a Muslim, otherwise you're an infidel. Those that are devotees of Buddhism would deny that, because Buddhism in its pure form does not even believe there is a God. And devotees of Hinduism would also deny that. Just think of India today and the way the Hindu folk are very often persecuting the Christians. It's only those who don't know the religions very well say that they all lead to the one place. So then, if they are all quite different, they're going in different directions, they do not lead to the one place, then they all cannot be true. If someone was honestly seeking for truth, how would they go about sorting through what is truth and what is not? Well, Christianity would be the easiest to assess. Why do I say that? Well, because Jesus Christ, of all, made the most extraordinary claims. And so it should be very easy, if those claims were wrong, to see that and scratch Christianity from the list if the claims of Jesus Christ were not true. Next, after I've asked the question, is it true, I want to ask, is it good? For surely a religion that leads to terrorism is not good. And of course, that is the first of Jesus' extraordinary claims for us to consider today. The first of his claims is in John chapter 10 and verse 14, and he says very simply, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Are his claims true? Is he good? Well, we need to look at Jesus' words in John 10 today, and can we discover there the care of a good and a kind shepherd? Well, you might be able to guess what I think. I believe that Jesus is that good and kind shepherd. But let's discover why. The first reason and proof that Jesus Christ indeed is a good, kind shepherd, caring for the sheep, is he is different to other men. Jesus Christ is different to other men. Okay, let's put Jesus' words and life in context. John chapter 10 and verse 22 says, "Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter." I believe this whole scenario here in regard to the sheep is at that time. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. The feast of dedication always occurs in December, and so of course in the Northern Hemisphere that does put it in winter. And this is about 18 months before Jesus' death. The feast of dedication was not required by the Old Testament law. The feast of dedication was a historic commemoration, maybe a bit like Australia Day. It was a time when the Jews commemorated a great victory about 200 years before when they rescued the temple and they rededicated the temple to the Lord. It is also called the Festival of Lights or Hanukkah, and it's still celebrated by Jews today. Jesus had used the symbolism of lights, perhaps he had used the symbolism of lights at that particular time to heal a blind man. And the healing of the blind man is described in John chapter 9, because we're in John chapter 10, so it's just preceding John 10. But the Pharisees, a religious group of Jesus' day, were not impressed by Jesus' miracle. And we read in John chapter 9 and verse 40, "Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, 'Are we blind also? Are you saying that we don't see? Are you saying that we don't have the truth?'" Verse 41, "Then Jesus said to him, 'If you were blind, if you didn't have the truth or say that you did, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, you claim to have the truth, therefore your sin remains.'" So the context of John chapter 10 is the Festival of Lights, the healing of a blind man, and a religious argument because some, like the Pharisees, were refusing the truth. Jesus speaking to the doubting Pharisees changes the metaphor from sight to sheep, and he says in John chapter 10 and verse 1, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." And verse 10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy." Contrast. "I have come that they may have life and they may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Contrast, I am the good shepherd, and I know the sheep, and I am known by my own." Jesus is, in those verses, is saying, "I am different from other men who would claim to be shepherds." In the mind of the people of Israel, they knew the shepherds in the fields, but they knew that shepherds often referred to the leaders of God's people, the religious leaders or the political leaders. And Jesus is saying in those verses, "I am different from other men who would claim to be leaders. I am different from the thieves." And Jesus quite possibly there was referring to the Pharisees, who he said in another place, devour widows' houses. They after widows just for the money they can get from them. "I'm different from thieves who steal the sheep. I am different from the hirelings who are just there because of the money they're going to get out of doing the job." Okay, to understand this, we have to understand something of sheep and shepherds in Jesus' day. Now, they didn't have paddocks like we do as we think of sheep and shepherds in the Australian situation. They didn't have paddocks and they didn't control sheep by a sheepdog. The sheep were more like family pets, known by name, and the sheep would come to the shepherd when he called them. At night they would be led into a sheepfold, which was usually a stone wall with just a single opening. Sometimes briars and brambles would be placed on top of the stones for extra protection. Sometimes the sheep of two or three shepherds would be herded into that sheepfold at night. And in the morning, the shepherd would come and he would call his sheep by name and only his sheep would come out. However, the picture Jesus paints in John 10 is of one fold and one shepherd. He, the good shepherd, comes to the sheep the right way. To the good shepherd, the doorkeeper opens. The thief cheats. He climbs up the wall. He comes in some other way. The thief's intentions are selfish. He wants to steal the sheep, to kill and destroy, to use the sheep for his own benefit. In contrast to these thieves, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd because I care about the sheep. Other religious leaders are self-motivated and want to make profit from the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Similarly, the hireling. The hireling doesn't care for the sheep. He's in it for the money. He doesn't look to protect the sheep. He is only self-protective. But the good shepherd cares for the sheep. So there's a contrast between the good shepherd and the thief. There's a contrast between the hireling and the good shepherd. He is good. He cares for the sheep. Others do not. It's like the difference between Nolene's dad and a neighbour. Now, many of you know that Nolene grew up on a sheep farm. Her dad was a shepherd, amongst other things, and he was a different kind of shepherd to Cliffy, a neighbour. Now, I met Cliffy a number of times over the years. Cliffy was loud and proud and aggressive. Dad was humble and patient, even before he was saved. Dad was humble and patient. Dad cared for the sheep. Cliffy was in it for the money. In her childhood, Nolene remembers Dad, in those days, riding on horseback, bringing back a sheep on the horseback to the family home. The little lamb would be brought into the family home. It would be put before the fire and thawed out from the icy winds that come from the Antarctic down there. It would be hand-fed. Lambs didn't get the same treatment from Cliffy. They were worth money, and so he would try and save their lives, but you couldn't call Cliffy a good shepherd. If there was no money in it, they were left for dead. Jesus stands apart from all the religious leaders of Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism. Read their histories. Read about Muhammad. Read about Buddha. They are not in the same league as Jesus Christ. Nor have any of the other religions' leaders entered by the door of the sheep. They're not even saved. They're religious men, but not saved. They've not entered by the door of the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd because he is different to other men. He's different to thieves. He's different to hirelings. He is the good shepherd. The second reason that Jesus is indeed a good and a kind shepherd, caring for the sheep, is he is of the Father. He is of the Father. Jesus speaks of God as his Father a number of times in this passage. Buddha never spoke of God as his Father. He didn't believe there was a God. Muhammad never spoke of God as his Father. The Hindus would never consider that. Verse 15 we read, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Father represents the gatekeeper. Because the Father knows the Son, that is the reason that we read in verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens. The Father opens for the Son. The Father did not open the gate for the other religious leaders, only the Son. The others are not even saved men. The Father knows the Son, and the Father loves the Son. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command have I received from my Father. Between the God of the universe and the Good Shepherd, there was an intimate Father-Son relationship. The Son obeyed the Father, and the Father loved the Good Shepherd. But the relationship of Father and Son is even closer than that. So close that we could say the Son was of the Father. Have a look at verse 29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one, he's speaking of the sheep there, my Father who has given them the sheep to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them, the sheep, out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are, what does it say? One. I and my Father are one. The sheep are given to the shepherd by the Father because there is a unity of essence between the Father and the Son. There are other claims in the scripture to Jesus Christ being God, but there is none stronger than this one that is right here before us. I and the Father are one. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, claims to be God of very God. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. The shepherd is good because the Father is good. They are one. The single most important thing to know about God in heaven, the single most important thing to know about him is that he is good. The Lord showed Moses what he, Yahweh, did you know that Yahweh is God's personal name? What he, Yahweh, is like, I'll read to you Exodus 34 and verse 6. And the Lord, when it's all capitalized like that, it's translating the word Yahweh. And Yahweh passed before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh who is God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Abounding in what? Abounding in goodness and truth. God is good. The shepherd is good because he is of the Father. The good shepherd is not like other men, for he is no mere man. Jesus was a man, yes, but he was more than a man. Jesus Christ is God, is the God who is good. Now, Patrick, the Zen Buddhist, denied that God is good. He didn't believe there was a God, but if there is a God, he is not good. He named examples of suffering in this world and blamed God for that suffering. But God is good, and God is not to be blamed for the suffering in this world. Evil never comes from God. God is pure. God is holy. There is no darkness in him whatsoever. God can never be blamed for evil in this world, and it never comes from God. I assured Patrick that, yes, God is in control. And there will be an end to evil one day. One day God will say, that is enough, no more. And he's going to put all things right. All things that have been done wrong, all the injustices in the world, God is going to put right because God is good. That is the most important thing to know about good God. Buddha detached himself from suffering and achieved a state of nirvana. The good shepherd never does that. He suffers with those that suffer. You say, where was God when I went through that? He was with you, suffering with you. He suffers with those that suffer. Muhammad, in his warfare, caused suffering. And the Hindu gods, according to Hindu doctrine, caused suffering. And so they need to be placated. You need to give these sacrifices and offerings to them. Jesus is different to the other men, for he is the good shepherd. He and the Father are one. The third reason that Jesus is good and a good shepherd is he gives his life for the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. Now, the thief and the hireling may take from the sheep, but they never give their life for the sheep. Have a look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Again in verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Again in verse 17. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it again. This command of I receive from my Father. To be different from other men, to be God in the flesh and to have the power of life and death are absolutely extraordinary claims. They are quickly tested. There are people who claim to be God today. They say they are God, but their lives are inconsistent with that. They lack moral purity. They lack the power of God. And they lack the wisdom and maturity that you would expect a person who is God to have. There is nothing inconsistent between Jesus' claims and Jesus' life. In regard to his claims, they are consistent with a man who is indeed God. Moreover, his claim to be able to lay down his life and to take it again is easily tested. Did they execute Jesus? The answer is no. Wasn't it Jesus who told Judas to go ahead, it's now time for you to go out and betray me? Didn't Jesus allow himself to be arrested? John records that when the mob came to arrest them, he spoke the word and they fell backward, flat, on their backs. At his word, he had power in that situation, but he allowed himself to be arrested. Didn't Jesus refuse to argue with the high priest, but simply stated, I am the Son of God, and from henceforth you'll see me coming in power and great glory? Didn't Jesus refuse to speak in front of Pilate? Wasn't he silent in front of Pilate? No, they didn't execute him. He laid down his life when his hour had come. And 3 days later, he took it up again. There is more evidence for the resurrection than any other event in ancient history. It's all recorded and preserved for us. 4 corroborating eyewitness accounts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that stand up in any court of law. He did rise from the dead. No, this shepherd was good. He gave his life for the sheep. And if the shepherd will give his life for you, then there is no other good thing that he will ever withhold from you. He is good. Forever let it be settled that this shepherd is good to his sheep. The good shepherd will only do good for the sheep. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He, the Father, who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, with Jesus, also freely give us all things? And that is all things good. King David was a shepherd back there in ancient Israel, and he defeated the lion and the bear as he was caring for the sheep. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 34 says, But David said to Saul, Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. David the shepherd defeated the lion and the bear in caring for the sheep. Jesus Christ defeated the world and the flesh and the devil in caring for the sheep. That is, at the cross, Jesus dealt with sin on behalf of the sheep. David merely risked his life for the sheep, but Jesus gave his life for us. 1 Peter 2 verse 22 says, in regard to Jesus, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him, that is the Father, who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because Jesus Christ is good, Jesus Christ gave his life for us. Sin kills. And we all carry the terminal disease. But Jesus made the cure for sin available to all. Believe in him who took your place, who bore your sin. He is good. Believe in him, and it will be counted as if you've never sinned. How good is that? The terminal disease is removed from you. The terminal disease is removed from us and placed on him. If we put our trust in him. Oh, how good he is. He can only ever be good to the sheep. The fourth reason that Jesus is a good and kind shepherd caring for the sheep is he gives life to the sheep. He gives life to the sheep. Verse 10. Have a look about halfway through verse 10. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The abundance of life that the Good Shepherd gives is abundant in both quality and in quantity. It is eternal life that he gives. Have a look at verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That is, the life that I give to each sheep is forever. No one can ever take that life away once it is given to them. The shepherd's goodness to the sheep is that they are held by his hand. He never lets go. What a good shepherd he is. He gives the sheep every provision, and he gives the sheep every protection. Buddha is not able to do that for his followers, because he is dead. Muhammad is not able to do that for his followers, for he is dead. The gods of Hinduism are not able to do that for their followers, for they are lifeless idols, and yes, they too are dead. Think of Nolene's dad's sheep and Cliffy's sheep. Her dad cared for the sheep. Cliffy was in it for the money. Where would you like to be a sheep? Wouldn't you choose the good shepherd? Wouldn't you want to experience life under his care? Well, the Bible is one thing entirely to be trusted, but life experience is something else. Go and ask those who know the good shepherd. Has he been good to you? Go ahead and ask him. Has he been good to you? Of course. And then taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste him, try him for yourself. Anyone who has known the Good Shepherd will confess to you that he is good. He has never left us nor forsaken us. He has always heard our prayer. He has provided and he has protected us. Oh, I love him because he is so good. Yes, there have been hard times, but he has suffered with us. He has strengthened us. He has given us his grace in those hard times. And he's made us a little more like himself. Oh, I pray you will come to this good shepherd who gives abundant life to his sheep. The fifth reason that Jesus is a good and kind shepherd caring for the sheep is he knows the sheep. He knows the sheep. Verse 3. To him, the good shepherd, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He knows us by name. He knows us intimately. The Bible tells us in other places he knew us before the foundation of the earth. Verse 14 also says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I'm known by my own. And verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Of course they follow because they want to be with the good shepherd. They know his leading is best and so they follow. They love the good shepherd. He knows them and they know him. It's personal and intimate between this good shepherd and his sheep. The sheep recognize the voice of the good shepherd. They also recognize the voice of hirelings and of thieves and they do not follow them. If you're traveling through Israel today, still today, there will be Bedouin shepherds leading their sheep. They're to be seen everywhere. And sometimes, for example, three flocks will be around a watering hole. And then one shepherd will decide to leave and he will call his sheep. And only his sheep will come out from the others and they follow him. They know him and he knows them by name. May I ask this morning, does the good shepherd recognize you as one of his sheep? Do you recognize the voice of the good shepherd amongst the great cacophony of religious voices that are out there? Are you his? David knew the Lord as his shepherd. And David knew the Lord to be good. So he wrote Psalm 23. Let's have a look at that together. David said, the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That is, in those verses, he's saying, the good shepherd provides for me. He not only provides, of course, he protects. And we read in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And the good shepherd holds me so that I am his forever. And David ends with these words, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's good because we matter to him. The final reason Jesus is to be trusted in your life as good is he seeks you. He seeks you. If you are not sure that you're his, he seeks you. Verse 16. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, that is not yet, but Jesus is going to bring them. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must also bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. He seeks yet others that are not already in his flock. There will be one flock and one shepherd. He seeks you. Jesus earnestly seeks you. He taught another time in the Gospel of Luke how earnestly he seeks you. Luke 15. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. He seeks you. He seeks you. He goes out searching for you. And when he finds you, he puts out his arms. He doesn't grab, but he puts out his hands close by and he says, come. It's your decision in the end, whether you come or not. He says in Matthew 11 and verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He is meek. He is kind. He is the good shepherd. You'll find rest in him. Here's what you must do. Mark 1 and verse 15. Not rocket science. Repent and believe the gospel. That's it. Repent and believe the gospel. Let me just explain both those words, repent and believe. Repent means that I know that I have this problem with sin. I've gone my own way. I've turned my back on the Lord. And I turn from that. I now want to live for the Lord. That's repentance. It's a turning round from sin to God. And then the word believe, it's believe the gospel. The gospel that Jesus Christ died in my place, in my stead, that my sins might be forgiven. He rose again to give me new life. And if I will believe that, I will be counted as if I've not sinned. That's the gospel. And so in prayer, I'd come to him and I'd say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I now want to put my trust in you as my good shepherd. Would you be prepared to do that today? On the back page of the bulletin, this part here, on the back page of the bulletin, I've printed out an example of a prayer. Now, the words aren't magical. It doesn't have to be these words, but it's an example of a prayer someone might pray if they were ready to trust Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. Let's just read it through together. Dear God, I know that I am not worthy to be called a child of God. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I'm guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need your forgiveness. I want to turn from living my life my own way
I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again to give me new life. I now acknowledge Jesus as the ruler in my life. I'm giving him the control of my life, in other words. Make me a member of your family. Please help me to love you and serve you always. Amen. So let me ask you this morning, are you ready to pray a prayer like that? Would you trust Jesus as your good shepherd? Maybe there is someone who is in that situation today. So I just want us to bow our heads, close our eyes, and I want you to pray privately. If you're a Christian already, pray for that one who is wondering if he should come, they should come to the Good Shepherd. If you're the one who has seen the Good Shepherd is seeking you today and you hear his voice, come, and you feel that urgency to come, would you pray a prayer just like that, silently, between you and him alone? Go ahead and pray where you are. Father, you hear the prayers. We do not. You see the heart. We cannot. You know what transactions have taken place between you and individuals in this congregation today. Lord, if any person has said, oh Lord, I take you as my good shepherd. Thank you for dying for me. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would come in and you would take their lives and lead them on and help them to follow you whenever they hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed a prayer similar to the one on the back of the bulletin, sometimes referred to as a sinner's prayer, if you prayed that today, that was the most important thing you have ever done in your whole life. And you will belong